So we've been brought here by our desire to know, our desire to become more conscious, to understand things better. And ultimately that desire to know is what we call, when it's fulfilled, when it's completed, is what we call awakening or enlightenment. So this is good. And I think it's really important to acknowledge that wanting to know is a part of our nature. Our nature isn't just the nature to be greedy and to be hateful and all of those kinds of things. Yes, that's true. Those things are part of our nature. It's also part of our nature to want to understand better and to want to be good and to want to be compassionate. These things are part of who we are as well. And so we've come all this way. We've given up so many things and we've come here to sit and to meditate. And then what do? We fall asleep. What's going on? Yeah. So, Mara has many forms. You know Mara, right? Anyone not know who Mara is? Okay, so Mara is, thank you for telling me, thank you. Mara is the Buddhist god / symbol of delusion and desire and death and all of those kinds of things. And Mara specializes in coming to see meditators when they are just getting going. Because like most people are pretty low maintenance as far as Mara is concerned, right? You don't have to do that much to keep them trapped, right? But then a few people start to sort of get a bit problematic, a bit troublesome. So they come onto Mara's radar and they have to get like special attention. So Mara comes to you in all of these different guises. And the thing about Mara is that Mara is unlike, say, Satan or the devil or something like that. Like, Satan wants to hurt you, right? When Satan comes, you're scared and there's all horns and fire and tails and cloven feet and stuff like that. It's not a good look, right? But Mara is not like that. Mara comes to you in all kinds of very lovely forms. And Mara wants to help you. Mara says, "Oh, you're so tidy, whitey. Why not go to sleepy weepies? Didn't have a little sleepy bobos. Never mind. And you lie down. Ah, that's much better." And Mara says, "Oh, there you go. Nice and sleepy. There you go." So this is the forms that Mara takes. And so what do we do? What are we to do as meditators and as practitioners when this happens? Well, first thing is that as with all of these things, and as with all of these hindrances, it's normal. It's natural. It's just part of who you are. It's not like something unexpected that happens to you along here. This is what meditation is. Meditation consists of experiencing these nivaranas, understanding them, and letting go of them. And the meditation methods and the approaches that we use for meditation are precisely in order to help you to do that. That's what it's for. So it's not like these things are sort of some random things that happen along the way. They are the way. So when you understand that, the first thing that means is that you don't necessarily have to do anything special. When you get sleepy or when you get tired, oh, okay, that's the path. It's normal that when you're walking the path, that will happen sometimes. So you just keep going, that's all. Now, of course, sometimes you really are sleepy, and sometimes you're tired and you need to get some rest. Yeah? And you need to learn the difference. That's where your wisdom and your experience comes in. Right? It's not easy in that moment to know whether you really do need some sleep or not. So play around with it a bit. Push yourself a bit sometimes. Stay up later than you wanted to. Get up earlier. And when you feel like sleeping, don't. And sometimes you'll find that when you do that, actually, you push through the sleepiness and you feel fine. And you realize, what was going on with that? Okay, other times you don't and you just get tireder and tireder. And then you realize, I really do need some sleep. So it's okay to play around with this a bit, right? It's okay to push against it and to go against the stream and to just sort of experiment and play around. What you want to try to avoid doing is getting into a habit of falling asleep when you meditate. Right? That's very debilitating, and it's a major obstacle in your practice. And it happens to a certain percentage of meditators. Not everyone, far from everyone, but a small percentage, maybe 10% or something of meditators, will get into a habit where when they sit down to meditate, after a while, their mind will sort of lock on to this tiredness and this dull feeling, and they just kind of zero in on that, and their minds will kind of close down. And if they have enough wisdom and mindfulness, they'll realize that this is happening. They'll know that this is a problem. But if they have strong delusion, then they won't even realize that this is a problem, and that they'll think, "Hey, this is samadhi. This is what we're supposed to be doing. I sat down to meditate. My mind got really quiet, and the whole hour went past, and I didn't even know anything that was happening. Hey, I must have been in jhana, right?" And this really happens, and not all that infrequently. So the thing that to bear in mind is that any genuine experience of peace comes with a brightness and an energy in your mind. And if you're not energetic and you're not clearly aware, and if you don't have like a sharp mindfulness, then this is not samadhi. So when... See, okay, so the dynamic of how meditation works is that when you first start to meditate, you have all the mind is very diverse, right? You have these different like compartments in the mind and different energies in the mind, and things are flowing in different ways, in different directions. That's why we feel restless and distracted and tense and all of those kinds of things, because we have different forces in our mind moving in different ways. And as we meditate, we gradually settle all of those different energies shooting off in different directions. And the problem is that as we settle those things, in our conditioning, we're conditioned to associate that settling with sleep. Yeah, we think that, oh, when we let go of everything and we go to sleep, our minds become quiet, and that's what happens. And so that conditioning then switches the mind off. So this is where you have to be aware of that. Once you're down that road, it's hard to get back. It's hard to decondition your mind from that. So the best, most important thing is to not get caught in that trap from the beginning. When you're meditating and you can feel your mind starting to switch off, just starting, not when it's got so tired you can't do anything, but when you just feel the mind, there's a little bit of dullness that creeps in there. And it's funny because when these things happen, it feels like such a small thing. You know, you're sitting there and you're meditating, and it's just like a very, very subtle shift in like the tone of your mind, and it just feels like it just comes a bit dull. It's no big deal. Yeah? But then it just keeps on going, and it keeps on going, keeps on going, and then it ends up as this dark shroud that's crushing your mind and crushing your awareness. So you have to learn to be aware of that and aware of where that turning point is. And when you see that thing happening, don't go down that road. So how do you avoid going down that road? Well, the simplest thing is to simply be mindful of it, be aware of it, and apply yourself to the meditation with a bit more energy. All right, so just push yourself onto the meditation a little bit more. Now, during this course, and I've always been trying to teach you not to push, to sit back from the meditation a little bit and let the meditation come to you. Right? But at this point, when your mind's starting to shut down, you need to do the opposite thing. Then you need to say, okay, now I need to push myself back onto the meditation a little bit, you know, push myself forward into the meditation. And if you catch it early enough and if your mindfulness is clear enough, then that will be all you'll have to do. And you just do that for a little while until you feel your mind cleared up, and then you can go back to as you were before. And if you do that persistently and with sharp mindfulness, then that's mostly is all you need. Sometimes, of course, it doesn't work. And look, no matter what you do, you're going to go through periods when you feel tired in your meditation. It happens to everyone. So if it happens from time to time, don't panic. That's not an issue. You know, that just means your mind's feeling a bit dull for that meditation. Then just keep on going, right? But if you find that it's happening habitually, this is when you need to change it. If just changing the force of your meditation a little bit is not enough, then you need to do something more. What is that something more? Well, you can try a few different things. One thing you can do is just to try reflecting in your mind. And so remind yourself, what am I doing here? Why did I come here to meditate? I came here to meditate to wake up. I came here to get enlightened. I came here to know better. Okay? So don't let myself slip into that unknowing. Don't betray the intention that's brought me here. And so you remind yourself of that and you arouse yourself up like that. Another thing you can do is reflect on all of the practitioners and yogis of the past, right? Or even of the present. You can even just look around the room, look at the other meditators and think, well, they're still here, right? They're also struggling through these things. I can struggle as well. You think about all the Buddha and all of the great disciples and all the great practitioners in the past, and they all went through this as well. That means that it's possible to get through it, and don't give up. Really, at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is that you don't give up. That's really all that matters. Now, if none of those things work, then open your eyes. And sometimes then that tiredness will come. And I find, you know, even after meditating for all of these years, I still find that I have these very, like, quite specific kind of rhythms during the day, at certain times of the day that my mind will get tired, and I just have to wait it out. So sometimes you just sort of open your eyes a little bit and just sort of wait and let the tiredness pass through, and then it's okay, and then you continue with your meditation. So sometimes just to open your eyes is good. If that's not enough, then stand up, go outside, go for a walk. If you're finding that that tiredness is coming persistently, then this is what I would recommend. And to be clear, I'm not recommending this for everyone. I'm only recommending this if you find that you're persistently getting tired every time you meditate. If you're persistently getting tired every time you meditate and falling asleep, then what I would suggest is make your meditations much shorter. In fact, that's generally good recommendation for most people. Make your meditations shorter. Don't try to push your meditations. Just meditate as long as your mind wants to meditate. But make your meditation shorter, maybe 5 minutes. Then at the end of the 5 minutes, if you feel yourself getting tired, just stand up. Don't even think about it. Don't do anything else. Just stand up. Wait till the feeling of tiredness is gone. And then sit down to meditate again. And meditate until you feel that feeling coming back again, the tired feeling. Then stand up. And just keep doing that. And if you have to do that the whole day, or for many days, or many weeks, don't worry about it. Just keep doing it. Because when you do that persistently, you're breaking the habit of conditioning. That's what you're doing. Don't think to yourself, oh, I have to sit for a long time, because otherwise I won't get samadhi. You're not going to get samadhi anyway. So that's not on the table, right? If you're falling asleep, your mind is far from samadhi. So don't worry about it. This is just your journey, that's all. So this is the obstacle you have to overcome. Getting into samadhi, there's not a single place in the suttas where the Buddha said getting into samadhi means you have to sit for this length of time or any of these kinds of things. Every single time when the Buddha said you get into samadhi, it's for one reason and one reason only. You overcome the five hindrances. That's how you get into samadhi. So if you want to get into samadhi or jhanas, don't worry about meditation techniques. Don't worry about how long you're sitting. Don't worry about all of these things. Only one thing you should focus on: how can I let go of the hindrances? And if the hindrance that's affecting you right now is sloth and torpor, that's what you need to focus on. Okay. So, now, sloth and torpor comes in that immediate and sort of almost kind of chronic way in your meditation, but sloth and torpor also has a more long-term dimension. And a number of people have spoken to me about this, in that they find it difficult to maintain a practice of meditation when they're outside of the retreat. So you can come to the retreat and you can do a number of hours meditation every day, and that's great. And then you go home and then, oh, well, I guess I'll go on retreat again next year. Right? So how do you keep that when you're outside of retreat? Well, again, the most important thing is the sense of meaning. It's the sense of purpose. It's the sense of understanding what you're doing. Like, you can try to hack your life all you like. You can try putting your alarm at a certain time and making a determination to sit for a certain amount of time or anything like that. But it's not going to be that very, very helpful. The most important thing is to have that sense of purpose and retain that. What am I doing with my life? Why am I here? What kind of person do I want to be? And this is one of the reasons why we reflect at the end of every meditation, reflecting about how the meditation has gone. Because by doing that, we're rubbing our nose in it. We're reminding ourselves again and again and again, this is why we meditate. Because it actually works. And when you keep on doing that again and again and again, then you always want to meditate because you know that it works. And why do we keep on meditating? Why every day? Why do you brush your teeth every day? Because if you go out of the door and you haven't brushed your teeth and you go to work, you'll be like, oh my God, my breath must be really stinky and I feel really embarrassed by inflicting my stinky breath on all my co-workers, and that would be bad. And you should think the same about your mind. You don't want to go out the front door in the morning and inflict your stinky mind on everybody. Right? This is basic mental hygiene that we should do. We should be doing every day, looking after our mind every day. And I've been to places where you see people in really difficult circumstances. When I was in the States. Just recently, one of the students on the retreat was the teacher, the headmaster at a school in the ghettos of Baltimore. And this is one of the most deprived areas in the States, lots of drugs and all of that kind of thing. And she's introduced all these mindfulness and meditation programs in the school. And it's really amazing, and what she's done is really incredible. And they have like mandatory meditation sessions every day for everyone. But which everybody does, very happily. And what she found was really interesting was that when they have optional days, like they'll have days when the kids can sign up to do different activities. So they might do some sports or some crafts or something like that. And when they have those days, a lot of the kids put their names down to do meditation. And they really want to do that because they do it. Because they really see the benefit, and because they're in environments where they're in a lot of suffering and a lot of stress, and they can see the difference that it makes. So if we want to keep a practice of meditation, we want to keep our effort going all the time, then that's really the core thing. And if you want something apart from that, apart from a sense of meaning, if you want one practical tip to help you meditate every day, then I would say the most important thing is find a meditation buddy. And get your meditation buddy to call you in the morning and say, have you meditated yet? And you support each other in your meditation practice. And you make sure that you're getting up and keeping your vows and keeping your meditation. Meditation buddy might be your husband or your wife, might be your kids, might be your neighbor, might be someone you know online or whatever. But to somebody who can give you that support, make sure you get out of bed when you need to, make sure you do the practice that you need to, and somebody who can understand when you don't have time or when something else happens, but who's there to help you out. So this, I think, would be the number one practical way to be able to keep a daily practice of meditation. All right, so that's probably enough for today, and I will leave you with that.